Blog Talk Radio.
Out of respect for man,
What would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries? What would happen with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them?
Thank you. Gentiles. This is the first Sunday. Ain't nobody on here. This TV in here is up loud too. I invite you to turn it off.
Belai minishita on nirajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, rabbilai lameen. Rahman nirahim, manika yomi din. Yakna aburu, yakna stain. Ihdine saroto mustakin. Saroto ladin and amta alayhim. Hyrule makdubi alayhim. Ole dolin. I mean. Thanks for refuge from Allah from the rejected enemy, Shaitan, the Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I mean, what is it? There is no God but Allah, the one creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets. May the peace and blessings forever be upon him. Welcome. As-salamu alaykum. I'm trying to get unwound here from the first Sunday presentation on Mars Cares, and the first of the year. And what a better time to start off the year listening to the first Sunday at the Mars Cares. Topping it off with a nice presentation from the youth, the young man from Nashville, Tennessee, my home, birth, where I was born, Nashville, Tennessee, Meharry University. There. And it was Meharry Hospital then. Then it became Fisk University. It was the Fisk University where Brother Ma'am Ramadan went to school for his doctorate. And it's a good history, real close family history-like. Listening to Brother Ramadan and about talk about COVID now and how things are going. A lot of notes were taken from that. The new, the latest news on the COVID and how it's actually progressing, the good or bad, or exciting to hear, or promises made, or what have you. You know, it's still 73% to 72% of the new patients going to the hospital today. You know, of the children, 380. Or did you see 3,800? I think 380 children a day hospitalized from this new, this here Omicron variant, current Omicron variant virus. And it's just spreading like wildfire, spreading like wildfire, and saying that even though they're so many children being hospitalized daily, but there's no vaccination as yet. That's been discovered for the children under 5 years old. 5 years or under, not vaccinated as yet. So they think that's a big deal. I don't see why that would be a big deal, because even though children have been hospitalized, it's because of the rapid growth of this new virus now. And its makeup, you know. And it's just unbelievable. I sit and I think about it, and I'm wondering why in the world is it that they can't seem to understand or see these things before they come, and they've got all these scientists doing all this experimenting and things prior to these viruses coming out, but all of a sudden nobody knows anything about it until boom, oops, there it is, you know, and it's Omicron variant current. So starting to reflect out on these current issues here with no way really to stop it from spreading like wildfire, and not enough room in the hospitals and all this sort of thing, and it's just unbelievable. You believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, that's what they used to say. but and it seems to hold more true now than ever before, even though it might have been Gladys Knight at the time and others who made that song might have been thinking of talking about something else, but we're talking about the real deals here with these viruses. And they're airborne, known to be airborne, so that means the air, the drug method, like tuberculosis used to be. You know, tuberculosis is a TB, when it first called it consumption, you know. But anyway, It's really taken over. Well, Mars Cares, I have to mention that a little bit today, too, because that's why I was a little bit, turned on my theme song from Sister Suad. Message of concern and the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. I played it and played the instrumental part and played the vocal part, and I was sitting here reflecting, just reflecting on the Mars Cares and what I had heard and learned. Brother Hamid Abdullah from Nashville, Tennessee, the masjid that I came from, the young student imam there, the imam's son, rather, he did the presentation at the first Sunday's Mars Cares today, and it was, oh, wow. It was really, really enlightening. Everybody was pleased and satisfied, and they're offering assistance and help from each other. The youth, they're really doing something and wanting to work together to keep Imam W.D. Muhammad's, I wouldn't say vision, well, it is a work alive, his work, keep his work alive, and keep us active in remembrance, and not to let it just die. You know, we got to keep it going. because it's the beginning of a lot of our lives, really. The beginning, things that Abhi Ma'am had taught us, still 50 years worth of wisdom and knowledge and sharing his understanding with us. He left 50 years or more of that knowledge with us. It's up to us to benefit from it and not be lackadaisy. It's up to us to put our minds together, that thinking, put our best thinking caps on and get busy. We know we have a lot of us have a lot on our plates, and we have a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to do. This is one of the reasons why we have to keep our focus, keep a clear mind. We have to learn how to set our priorities and remember Allah frequently. Taking it a little slow. Still doing live thinking until a lot of others come on the line. So many different things can be talked about. You know, but we know that we wanted to talk about the children and their well-being. Inshallah, we can't forget them and we won't forget them. And we pray Allah every day, every night, all day to bless us with a way to be able to meet our obligations when it comes to the children and the youth, you know. Because they say the ball is in our court now. We are either going to speak up, talk up, or shut up. So we have to read our Quran, got to focus more on making sure we make our salats and on time if we can. Got to strive toward a lot of things. This is the beginning of a new year. So the whole year is gone now. A lot of blessings with another chance. You know, he's like, show me. I've given you all this time now. What did you do with it? What are you planning on? I've gave you a few more days in the beginning of another year. What are you planning on doing with this time now? You know, how are you starting it off? Positive or negative? You know, beneficial or non-beneficial, helpful or non, you know, just got to get it together. Be more serious. Stop fooling around. Stop trying to fool everybody, because Allah is the best knower. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So who are you fooling? You know, who are you fooling? And no, we don't have to prove anything to anybody but ourselves. We definitely don't have to prove it to Allah, because he's got it already planned. Our destiny lies in his hands. So we have to get our own mind together and stop fooling ourselves. And I remember my little brother made a song. I can see his face. I can't remember his name right now. One of the youth said, "Is you is or is you ain't no Muslim." Is you is or is you ain't no Muslim. You know, he made a song or a rap song about that. I forgot when I first came to Atlanta. He was real big. True words, true words. But inshallah, we have to pray harder, be more serious, sincere to thyself, be true, right? That's what our Imam used to say, and his father used to say, to thyself, be true. So nobody trying to fool me. I'm not the one that you have to answer to. You know, it's yourself and Allah. So we just have to stay focused and keep on our J-O-B. Pray Allah bless us with patience, prayer, and perseverance in the time we need to complete our assignment and our duties of what we can do. Bless us with more strength, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually to be able to measure up. We have to measure up, you know. Like people used to say, put your money where your mouth is. Not so much talking, and get to work. And mean what you say and say what you mean, you know. Working at your own pace, only Allah knows how much you can do in a day's time, how much you're qualified to do, how much you have the strength to do, or whatever it is that you can do that's beneficial and that's helpful in chop chop. Get to it. That's what we have to do. So I see a hand up here already, and I'm going to call on this hand, bring him into the queue, because they may have to go. I don't want to make anybody a slave to my time. So we're going to bring on Brother Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad. Happy New Year.
Oh, my goodness. Wa alaykum as-salam. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you always. And that is why we are talking about the psychological effects of this world and the history of this world of people who reject Allah's way, how it affects our children, you know, inwardly as well as outwardly, you know, and how that Shaitan, you know, the enemy of us, and we can never ever forget to emphasize that as much as possible. We have an enemy. We have an invisible enemy that has permission to communicate us to us in a whisper with what he has already established in the world, and try to make it seem like it's real. He try to make racism. He try to make murder, adultery, fornication, hate, envy, jealousy. He tried to make all of those things that he has already have accomplished in this world, because the believers have also been bamboozled by him to where they don't know how to be complete in their response to Almighty God Allah with their total creation. They have let Satan do what we was warned about in the beginning, that he will divide and conquer the individual. He will divide and conquer the family. And he will divide and conquer the community and any other form of togetherness of worship to Almighty God Allah by the human family creation. He will do that. And we have to recognize that since Adam, like Allah tells us in the Quran, he has been doing that for, we can't even calculate, we don't know if it's 10,000 years, but we know that he's had a long time to prepare to attack us now in 2021, if we ain't on our job. Don't underestimate what Allah has warned you. This, the creator of this creature and everything that we see and don't see has told us, this is your open enemy. He has the ability to carry you to the hellfire where he's going if you don't believe that I am God, the creator of all the worlds, and I'm the one who is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Like we was listening to a thing earlier today, Imam Muhammad says Satan's in charge of our doubt. Allah is in charge of our assurity, our sincerity, our honest patient and reality of what we know in our heart, because the Quran's in our heart, and we know the Quran naturally. Allah said you have a natural inclination, you know, and I put it in your heart to know that I'm God and Muhammad is my messenger. And I've given you proof. I've given you a book of the criteria of the life that you've gone through and the life that you are pursuing through yourself and your children. And your children's children, as long as you obey. Our children, saying like they say sometimes, sweet as they are, they are looking at us with wide eyes of happiness that they can't even express.
Yes.
Because they hear so much trouble of what they see outside of the home. They hear how it puts fear in the heart of the atmosphere in the home. You know, to the point where we don't even know that we're neglecting them. We're not teaching them what they heard when they was in the womb of their mother. They heard us say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. And when they got to a certain form in their development, they could feel the father's hand and the mother's hand on her stomach when she rubs it. Oh, and heard that that sound that sounded like baby, oh baby, oh honey.
Mm-hmm.
And then to come out into the reality that they're on their own, except for a few.
Yep.
Except for a few. Because their parents only fear Allah and Allah alone and are so grateful that he awakened us like he done each and every one of us to the reality of why we're here, how we got here, and what such enormous power or whatever you want to call it, called Allah is the creator of us.
Mm-hmm.
But he told us you got an open enemy who lies at the womb of the mother waiting to devour the children of the future. You know, with the permission. You know, and we not looking to blame anyone because Satan's the only one that you can blame, even though he done try to convince us you can't blame him no more. You know. Until we establish what Allah has prepared for us and we're living it, then we can blame ourselves. Because, man, that's what we already knew in other words, but we didn't know it clearly when Allah made it clear to us that every trouble you have or in your life, it comes from you. We didn't really hear or we heard about it from different things, but to really get it straight from the creator of our warning, all the good that comes from you comes from me. Is what our creator said, Almighty God Allah. He said, but all the bad, the discomfort, et cetera, it comes from you. Because I've already warned you of your open enemy and how he will talk to you, approach you, his logic, his rationale, you know, his material, a way of tormenting you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And our children has been watching this, you know. You know, they have been watching how when Satan talks to them, we make every attempt to protect them, but then we leave them alone again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we leave them alone like they are orphans. Now we understand why Allah said they're only a trust to you. Because until you establish what I prefer for you, you know, your life and your death is not all for me. Or them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we are beginning to find that out, how we are killing each other, people who call themselves Muslims. Now, we already know that other people have been doing this. They've been sacrificing, committing suicide, killing each other, you know, in their false reality and trying to make ours just as illusionary as theirs. When we supposed to be trying to add some substance and some clarity to the oppression and suffering that they're going through. Because as long as they don't have peace, we don't have peace.
That's right.
As long as they don't have halal, we don't have halal. Whatever we need to be what we was when we came down here, are you responsible human creation who've been given a whole planet of life that we know about and life that we don't know, and every day we discover more, and how to protect it from the open enemy, us who are responsible for being the caretakers of it, and just taking it from us every day. And the psychological effect that our children suffer from all of this is how it plays out on the way we act. Because they're learning from us when we're on our toes and when we ain't on our toes. When we got taco and we ain't got taco. They are watching and learning from it. And they learn deception. You know, we heard husband and wife say, we've heard Muslims say in certain circumstances, call each other liars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fake Muslim. You fake our children. Hear and take on that characteristic. So the psychological effect that's on our children from Shaitan is coming straight through us. Because we still have enough taqwa that when he does approach our child, and our child go to exemplify some of his ways and everything like that, we run to their protection. And like I said a few seconds ago, we give them understanding and we free them from that whisper. But while we're doing that, Shaitan is putting that whistle on us and make the child see us respond to Satan the way that you just, or we did, or just got to telling them to don't do their own self. You know, can you imagine a 40 or 50-year-old child all their life been hearing us talk about this community of Alistair? Right here in America, not around the world, they have been promised. And some of our children now are 50, 55 years old. And we've been telling them for 50, 55 years about this community called Al-Islam.
That's right.
And they ain't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe in it with their logic and their rationale because Allah made it easy for them to see it's real. But they don't see no application, you know, enough to make them, do you realize that our children, I'm talking about, we just use the age of 50, from 50 to 25, our children here in America, of the Muslim community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, makes millions and millions of dollars every year and have no community to spend it on. And we're even crying to them indirectly, do for self. You won't spend with your own family. You won't spend with your own store in your neighborhood. And for 55 years, they've been waiting on us. They've been hurt. We've got deeds and actions. But Allah, with his mercy, has showed them the light of possibility and our potential, because every now and then they see a Muslim store, a good Muslim parent, a good Muslim neighbor. They see, especially when they go to the masjid, they meet good Muslim kids their own age. And don't you know, a lot of them have grew up together from 25 till 55 or 50 years right now. They own their own home.
Yeah.
Maybe got two cars. And they're trying to hold on with all their strength and not giving it back to the dunya.
Yeah.
Because they know that they have their own share of this creation. To establish Deen al-Islam in. So they know we got to save something, the land or something. We got to have something. We just can't mess around and let Satan take everything from us. Like they
That's
see
right.
that he is trying to do. And then on the other hand, they see us rejecting and not even asking them to help the way that we should ask them. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have, they making all of this money. They have all of this Arabia. They have all of this wonderful inspiration and desire to help establish this life they've been hearing about ever since they've been 6 months old.
Yeah.
And they want to see all that love that's in their parents have a world of its own. Heaven on earth, like Imam Muhammad said by Allah's permission. We have Jannah right here on earth if we come together. You know. And now those 50-year-olds, they have children and grandchildren that they also have joined in telling them about this community. not in the world now, in the community of under the mercy from Allah through Imam W. Muhammad. They know we're supposed to be there and had a community at least 60 years ago. At least. And they know we had a reason. We didn't have no money, so they understood. That's why a lot of them took a little bit of a sharing of Almighty God's Allah's reward for them is if they continue to be good and learn what you're trying to show them, and it has inspired them to go and get master's degrees, doctor's degrees, engineers. They have went and done their part. They have went and got the resources that they know because we were new, awakening human beings and we're trying to get all the knowledge in the direction from Almighty God to share with them. So it would be easy for them to not go astray. Now they got it all. They sitting on it. And they're still going through the same mass year they was born in some places. Still born and being raised in a storefront mass year.
Yeah.
You know. You think that's not putting a psychological effect on them to see us going through what we're going through?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Allah told them, if you understand, please be good and take care of your parents when they get old like they did when you was young. Because they know the sacrifice we are trying to make every day and still trying to make sacrifice. But we have lost the skills of communication because we're still listening to the shaitan. And Allah said, you give more time to the past of the unbelievers than you do of the future of the believers. The believers don't have any future because we give 75% of our time in talking about the world and the life of the unbelievers and not talking about the future of the believers. Our children are waiting. And now they are also joined us in waiting. Because remember, if you got a 50-year-old son or a 52-year-old daughter or whatever like that, they had, because again, this psychological effect that comes from Shaitan's scheme, Allah had already told us. All you have to do is say no, so I'm not going to come to your help unless Satan break the rules of engagement. All you do is tell him no and spend your time in establishing what I have favored you from the 23 years of all the revelations and prophecies I gave my prophet and messenger to explain to you to where you don't need no more warning with prophecy. You don't need no more warning because this is the final opportunity to have your children. If you can't make it, walking across the Sirat al-Mustaqim, at least your children can be purified enough to walk. And knowing if they are on that level of worship to Allah, he might give them some, he tells her, in the broad sense, he tells her, I might give them an opportunity to intercede for you. And what better good deed can we throw into the future than our children who are believers? When you got a believer who is disciplined enough, who's a living the five prayers of the Articles of Faith and been a model, something to look at by those who disbelieve. When you send that type of blessing in front of you, oh, Allah loves the obedient servant who does that, who has enough sense to lend him a beautiful loan, their children. You know, they send their believing children, you know, who believe so good that their human potential is almost complete, but they have no problem about even going across the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Don't have to take no fire. None at all. Alhamdulillah, if that could happen for us, and it could happen overnight because we don't have to let Shaitan set the time limit on when this can come together for us and dictate to us how we're going to live this life. He ain't God. He ain't Allah. But he's dictating to us what Allah has already given us. He's telling us how much we can make, how we can make, what time to make prayer, when to miss prayer. You know, he got us in a terrible psychological imbalance that our children are seeing every day, and they are collateral damage of it because they have to tolerate us and deal with our unnecessary imperfection. We're not perfect, but why would Allah tell us whatever you endeavor to do, bring it to its perfection? And we're not going to do that to ourselves. Once we took that shahada, we were supposed to make sure that our life first went to its highest level of perfection, to where our own soul can be saved first, so it'd be easy to save our loved ones, to save our community. And we won't even establish food for them, purified food. We can't even come together and do that. You know. And cry about it every day. Whine about it every day. Everybody, everywhere you go, you see them. It's just like the Muslims sitting out on the corner crying about all this hell we're going through, and all we had to do is turn to the Qibla that Allah gave and stay focused. And our children, some of them have made Hajj, 2 or 3 Hajj, and have seen that confusion going on over there, and seeing the people praying for something that when they get back to the world, they don't even want it. So you go all the way to Allah's house and ask him to give you what I heard you praying for when you was in America or France or whatever, and then you get back here, you still want to reject that. You don't want no community. You don't want no halal environment. You don't want to live. You don't even want to live in your own neighborhood. You're so scared of the intimidation of Shaitan that you wouldn't let some of his people live among you, even though they might drink. Even though they might smoke cigarettes. But they got us in a position where we don't know how to stand up for our rights, to tell them that we have a right to have a purified community. We don't have to have alcoholic people in it. We own this land. We pay for all this cement and concrete and sand to build these homes. We in America, where everybody has the right to pursue happiness. We have a right to our share of this dunya. You can't, I don't care where you come from, what makes you think your belief tells me that I cannot tell you you can't live in my neighborhood because you drink. Because you think you're going to live in my neighborhood, and you do whatever you want to do, and then you won't even let us in your neighborhood knowing we ain't bringing nothing but good. And you have never to discriminate against us. Say, I don't want you living with me. But yet still, you got laws on the book that you think that we're supposed to honor when Almighty God Allah, who gave Shaitan the knowledge to put that type of scheme on us, to see if we got enough sense to say, we ain't going for that. We obey Allah's law. And Allah has already told us, do not accept anything that conflicts with your religion. There ain't nowhere in the Quran where Allah said we got to live with people because of their skin color, and they smoke cigarettes, drink liquor, you know, hate our religion, hate righteousness. Don't believe in one God in there. But we have to, we let ourselves put in a situation where we take the psychological faith of thinking that just because we live in this country and paying taxes and everything like everybody, but we don't have a right to live the Islamic life. Now, we already know they have a reality where there's a kosher life in the United States of America. There's a Christian life. There's a Buddha life. Go to any of these hotels and see like how everybody's name is Patel. You know, owning all the gas stations and stuff. But the Muslim can't have nothing. That is the psychological effect that we better join with our children who are 50 years old, 52 years old. You know, Allah has blessed them with those resources for a reason, because Allah knew that where he inspired us to come from, we had to give it all up, just like you've seen Abu Bakr and all of them, how they used to come to the prophet and say, whatever you need, everything I got is at your disposal to establish what Almighty God wants you to establish. Because we know you are his messenger. you need any of my money, my home or whatever, my cattle, my whatever, you can have them. That's what our children are telling us right now. I got this, you know, for me, I got this $200,000-$300,000 job for a reason. Because I know my own self. I learned how to make houses. I learned how to do it. I learned all the things to build an Islamic community, if you want to. All I want y'all to do is to come together. So we know how many of us are here. Can we have our own police force to protect us when we do this? Because we know the enemies. Our enemies is going to attack us on all fronts. Psychological, intellectual, emotional, spiritual. They are coming once they see us come together. And try to divide and conquer us again. With whisper.
Right.
With a whisper. Something else that they would holler at us, but they just stop and whisper. So we have to realize that Allah said this is based on sincerity. So if we don't understand, we all need to go back to the dictionary and you know, all need to go back to the Quran. And if we don't know how to read the Arabic, ask us of someone who can give us some kind of idea what the word sincerity means in the Quranic Arabic. Because we can't have sincerity like this here. We cannot be as dumb as we are intelligent. And we are very, very, very intelligent. How can we be so dumb at the same time? How can we be so strong that we will say my life, my death is all for Allah, and then turn back around, turn back on your faith. Turn back on your faith in a minute for a new car. To marry a non-believing person. Because it ain't the brothers no more doing right now. We got sisters. You know they want a non-Muslim husband
or somebody else's.
Or somebody else's. Yeah, I'm in fornicating adultery blatantly. Happening every day right in our face. But remember now, the believers. See, people don't understand that those of us of this Quran, the Prophet Muhammad then told you. By Allah's permission, he said, we're going to be the first one judged. How can we, if we're going to be the first person and first people in China, that means we're also going to be the first people going to be judged, right? So that also means that we're going to be the first people who go bust the doors of hell down. It's going to be the Muslims who rejected faith. Going to be the first one in the hellfire. And I don't care if you're a scholar, because by I'm just using common sense. I ain't no scholar going to try to tell me that if a Prophet Muhammad, by Allah's permission, said that his community will be the first one in the Jannah, that means that we're going to be the first one judged by Almighty God Allah on the day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is going to be behind us. And we think we don't let Satan use his psychological on us, talking about the first will be last and the last will be first. So that means we're going to be the first one in hell, don't we? And we want to but see, remember now, our kids can comprehend that because they are more innocent. Because they have less hypocritical dialogue with themselves. Allah said, you did not differ until you got some knowledge. But Allah said, and you use that difference with your own self first. Then you start to differ with everybody else. What they call it nowadays, they call it opinion. Just like Imam Muhammad was saying. Everybody got a damn opinion. And then everybody wants to fight, but they come together when somebody wants to tell the truth. You know, and try to shut the truth down. Every time somebody tells the truth, they want to try to, the commentator or the MC or whoever it is who's here, try to tell the wrongdoing people, that ain't what they meant. Here's what they meant. And just like Imam Muhammad, and then they water your, these shakes, they water your shake down. and then we so weak, we sitting there and let somebody take what Allah said, because they think they're so good at with this deception, they try to convince the people that what we said is what we said. And we said they're quoting Quran. We can quote the Quran word by word, especially if we were scholars in the Quranic area, tell them word by word with the Quranic area. And then some disbelieving Muslim or some disbeliever will get up and try to tell the world that that ain't what we meant. And we sat there and let them articulate. We say it all the time. What do we say all the time? Tell our history or somebody else will, right? We say it all the time. But do we understand what that means? So we let them tell our history. They let us tell when we make 5 prayers a day. And no pun upon you. And got us saying Happy New Year on somebody else's New Year. We don't even tell each other Happy New Year when our New Year come in.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's right.
And again, it's that. They showed on national, international TV the highest structure on this planet Earth built by Muslims celebrating having a party in the honor of somebody else's New Year.
Mm.
Knowing our New Year, we almost 6, 7, 8 months into our New Year.
It's true.
And then some of us even try to make it sound like it's so acceptable. We tell the people, a lot of them, hope you have a happy new year. How are you going to tell a homosexual person who's under the influence of homosexuality or under the influence of drugs and alcohol, you think this cause whatever you tell them, have a happy new year.
Mm.
They live in death. And our children are watching. Because remember, everything we're saying on this program is helping us to see how it's not the psychological effects of what's happening to them. It's what how we are helping Shaitan give them that psychological abuse by going along with what is wrong. Muslims all over this earth spend more time on the Juma just passed, on Juma. Every masjid almost, inshallah, Allah Alam, was talking about Christmas on Juma Day, the day when Allah is supposed to address our problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the first khutbah or even the second khutbah was about Christmas and Santa Claus. And then turn right back around the next week and telling people and giving more attention to the disbelievers, New Year, when it all started. Was it then? You know when we first was in the nation, you know, we learned about Nimrod, King Nimrod, and all these ones who started all these false realities, false worship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Here we are celebrating Nimrod and all of his false and phony disbelieving people, New Year, of their authority over us, the believers. And our children, who are now well educated in academia knowledge than we are, be saying, how can our parents believe that? You know, can you imagine a 50-year-old Muslim child of ours coming to our house and say, Assalamu alaikum, Happy New Year? Don't you know the kids? How much they love us. See, and how good the psychological subliminal message has them went around their taqwa. In their heart, they're going to say, man, they got me talking about Happy New Year, and it ain't even our New Year. We on the Lunar County, and we got us celebrating and scared to tell the truth about the year of our downfall.
Yeah.
Like Ibn Muhammad was talking earlier today, the Gog and Magog, the ungodly people.
Right,
they're celebrating
right.
their New Year's with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest building on the planet Earth, built by Muslims, people who call themselves Muslims, stopping a ball and all the pumping glitter light, everything the light does in the crowd, all the sport plays, pumping glitter, and they even over there in the hotels of Dubai, they gave them permission to have liquor at the parties as long as they stay in their rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Or designated areas that they have for that. But
mm-hmm.
we want you to come to Dubai. We want you to come to Dubai and celebrate your New Year of drinking, fornicating, homosexuality, thanking your God, Jesus Christ, for giving you another year.
Absolutely.
And we wonder why those schemes of the Shaitan, especially that lie about God had a son, that he's been using on the world for almost 2,000 years.
Mm.
And Allah warned us at least once, the first year of our life as a Muslim, and Allah blessed us to read the Quran the best we can during the month of Ramadan. We're supposed to be the purifier each year until, as long as we be a Muslim, to where we come into a whole truth.
Alhamdulillah, Brother Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. We enjoy it. You are really.
Allahu Akbar. All praise due to Allah. I'm so glad I don't know nothing, because I don't have that problem by having a difference with myself or with others who are supposed to be believers. I don't have that problem. I believe everybody believes. I know everybody believes, because Allah created us to believe. But it don't mean nothing without deeds and actions.
That's
nothing.
True. That's true.
You know.
It reminds us of the day when they were talking. They had the what is it, the CD that was taped, the tape that we listened to this morning, the Mag and the
Gog and Magog. Yeah.
Gog and Magog, yes.
Yes.
Gog and Magog, say how they having people to, they don't go after certain people. They go after the righteous people, or they go after ones who are trying to, you know, be upright. And to use your loved ones and the ones that are closest to you to deter you and to cause you to defocus and not to focus on the proper areas.
After Allah warned us that Satan was the seducer, the illusionary, and he used all that on us. Yeah, that's true. He used your son and your daughter again.
Yeah.
You know, to make you compromise your faith or thing that you, and then that word humanity, make you think that being nothing but an animal. See, because remember, on our basic level, we are just earth and the word of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
He tied us to the earth for a reason, so that we know when we hit bottom, what they call it, rock bottom?
Rock bottom.
How you have fell from the universal order of the atmosphere that you live in, and you're going through your orbit like all the rest of creation, but you fall all the way down, back down.
Mm.
Where you become lower, you become like, and what's the lowest thing on the ground? A snake. There's nothing no closer to the dirt, the ground, than the snake.
And a snake. Crawling on his belly, yeah?
Yes, ma'am. And our children know this and watching this.
Yes.
And now they got to deal with it. And the scheme that Shaitan put on us is so rooted into them, because they have been, because of how much al-Islam they know, they have been not prepared, what they say, to stand on their own two feet. You know, because they walk, what they call it, because we got them walking on eggshells.
Hmm.
About being a Muslim. We brag about everybody else's life except the Muslim life. We don't even tell them how the best life in the world is the good life of the Quran.
Mm-mm. Okay, Brother Muhammad, we appreciate your presentation.
Yes,
always. Always do.
Hey, I'm listening to you. I know it ain't me. I know I don't know nothing. I'm so glad to hear the opportunity of any of us talk. Any of us talk. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
And our children need to hear how we really, how he said, think, but really hear how we feel. As he said, God even got us, we don't want to express our intellect. We want to express our feelings.
Right, that feeling.
So we say we hope they understand how I feel. But alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, pray a lot that we got something out of what he's telling all of us. Because when the toe hurt on the body, everything hurt, right?
That's right.
If your toe is hurt, mine hurt.
That's right. When those shoes hurt your feet, your whole body hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole body hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brother Muhammad, I appreciate
yes, ma'am.
You.
I appreciate that. Yes, ma'am.
And and that new year, that new year we have,
hey,
I was calling Muharram, right? Muharram. It's in June. I think it's coming up in June, something like that. It's our new year.
Of this year. That's a shame. Yeah, but that's right.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but like I said, I know I'm not. Our New Year's is the beginning of Hijra.
Beginning of Hijra. Okay.
Yeah. Is the Muslim the New Year. But, yeah, that's right. But again, like I said, then in closing, I appreciate the opportunity. But that just... I just said, boy, the tallest building on earth, built by the people who say, La ilaha illa, there is no God but Allah. And here we are worshiping the birthday and all the other the tributaries going back to King Nimrod, I think, right? Got all this, not him personally, but I'm just saying that mentality.
Yeah, well, that was a personal, wasn't it? Because it was
it was a personal too. Yeah, but remember, we guess he was real, but still, that was Shaitan's number one imp at that time. We come with all this psychological effects that we're dealing with now.
But him and his mother also went into some intimacy together, and when he passed, his mother put a tree by his gravesite on for his birthday, and every birthday she would light up the tree with the lights, which brought about this Christmas thing. And
and
that's
the Germans and all them, they push it hard. They didn't want to start the Kris Kringle stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then they were celebrating this year, supposed to be Christmas in the streets until people got rowdy and doing everything.
Yeah.
So they made them take it into the house. Home,
yep, you know. Y'all got to take that Sodom and Gomorrah in the house.
Well, we're just excited.
Alhamdulillah,
we're grateful to see
I know it'll be shocking, but let me back out. I want to take up all your program. You always do such a good job with the love that you have and those of you be on this program for our children. But we have to do more than just talk. We have to get out of here and inshallah, make dua to Allah. That's the first action we need to do. We got to really give sincere dua to Allah to help us.
Yes.
Establish
do.
What he has favored us with.
Right. And you got to pray Allah for more strength, a strong, determined, sincere strength and, strong determination to meet our requirements and what's been the task that's been given, the job that's been given, so we just have to pray for that,
And just like Sister Rashida does every morning on Lifeline, she prays to Allah and don't let us deviate.
Don't let us deviate after hearing our teachings, I'm telling you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I say, I'll talk like to everybody and tell you.
Okay.
I hope he's doing all right and doing better. I said, I'm awake.
Yes, sir. Yeah, give your wife the greetings for me and whisper in her ear and tell us that you're making duas for her, strong duas. She knows that.
Well, she like me to call you. When I say sister, she know I'm talking about you. I tell her, your sister checked on you today.
Yes. Sister Sharon. I'm doing
All right. Peace and blessings go on everybody on the queue, and pray we get this message of concern, and we got to protect our grandchildren and great-grandchildren now. In fact, Allah, we got our children who have Allah is blessed with so many resources to help them.
That's right.
Establish the world that Allah promised them. Yep. Establish the world for them that Allah promised them.
That's true. That's true.
But we wasn't going to get to live in the homes that's going to be built in the subdivisions and all the things that come with a futuristic life.
I was praying that we could, that something would come about, but I forgot Allah is not in the business of creating miracles. All he has to do is say, be it, it is. Eventually, alhamdulillah, we'll get part of it, to be able to step foot on the land anyway.
Yeah. Like, well, we probably have a problem, Muhammad. I like to go on and make this ascension as soon as possible.
I know that's
so when the morning comes, we digging up wherever we at as Muslims, we digging in the dirt and starting to build this society of Al-Islam of peace.
Yeah,
I ain't got to need to wait no 50 years and all that stuff.
Mm-mm. You know, it was so good to hear, Brother Hamid. Did you listen to the first Sunday for the Mosque Cares?
No, I don't know how to get Zoom, and I don't think I can get Zoom on this old phone I got. I'm supposed to trade it in here in a minute. But like I said, let me get off and go. You know, we get to talking like family, and you got a program going in. Go ahead on it, and inshallah.
Young brother there shed a lot of light. Young brother, the young imam in, from Nashville, Tennessee, Hamid Abdullah.
Yeah, I know him.
Did a good,
yeah, I know him.
A good, yes, I know you do. A good presentation. He really did a good presentation. He's got a lot of, he's in there with that youth. And I remember him when he was 2 years old, but maybe when was he born?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, knew him. He's coming on up in the ranks like that. They're helping the mother and father out so much. Yes, alhamdulillah, I'm really proud to say that I was.
That's right.
Had a,
all we got is make sure he has the help of Allah with him. With others.
That's right. Yes. Okay, brother, ma'am. Okay, now, if thank you so much. Does anyone else have anything to say or would like to say anything? Do push 1 on your receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue. I see the board is lit up. I know we were talking about the Talim. Last night, and we discussed a little bit on that, didn't decide anything, but we just discussed it a little bit so that we could speak on it a little bit more. But we do have to keep our promise to these children, you know, and when it starts, older people used to think, am I getting ready to leave here or what? Because my mind is on this thing, and I really got to get this done, you know, this really has to get done. But inshallah, it's in the making. It's coming along. It's coming along. I got to be patient myself because I will, if I don't, I won't be able to complete it. Okay, I see Brother Imam on here. Let me bring him in. Imam Ibrahim Abdullah. Got his hands up.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I open the bad windows and testify nothing deserves but a worship except Allah alone, who has no associates, no partners. And I open the bad windows and testify that from Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his prophet, the son of the prophets, and his messenger to the world, to mankind and the world over. So we don't have to look for no more scripture no more. We got the final blueprint, and we should establish our foundation on that blueprint, which is called the Quran, along with the tradition of Muhammad the prophet. So I seek refuge in Allah from Satan, the rejecter, or one who causes man and woman to forget. First, I'd like to say, I'm glad to hear that our sister, Brother Muhammad's wife, is doing better now. And as long as he keeps on teaching like that, he got my support. I'll stand with him anywhere. because that's what we need. We need clarity. And this show is really is helping us to sharpen our skills, because the Lord's going to use us. He's going to use us. So he's got us in a position, as we all talk just about every night, we learn from each other. We pull information from each other. We share wisdom with each other. And the key is that we share understanding with each other. And the understanding is the key. And I had a person ask me one time, say, "Are you Muslim?" I say, "I'm a believer." I said, "I'm a believer, aren't you? Don't you believe?" "Oh, yes, sir, okay." And we left it like that. I avoided the question saying, "Are you Muslim?" because I wasn't ready for no argument at that point. You know, and you know, many times people ask you questions like that for a reason. So I call myself using hikmah, like Allah said, "You will." I say, "I'm a believer." And this is what we don't have. And Brother Muhammad responded on it correctly. That's what we don't have. We got 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, or however many Muslims. I'm just talking about in America. I'm not going outside America. And I'm talking about our community. If we got 2 to 3 million, and here we are, out of the 2 to 3 million, we only got 100,000 believers. And then the rest of them is just, like you say, running around, got a kufi on, a dress on, and said, "I'm Muslim." If you got to have this kind of stuff on to make you feel that you get that close to Allah, something wrong with you. A believer is going to always have a lie in his heart. I don't care what he got on. And to prove that, when you go in the shower, you take a shower, you ain't got nothing on. And you say to Allah, "What? I'm on the way to Gusha. All I intend to take Gusha, I intend to take a bath." This is what you said, Allah. This is a believer. We don't want to get so loose with the term Muslim. That's the problem right now. And Imam Muhammad taught on that. Muslim. But where's the believer at? And I'm glad he responded on, we need the believers, because the believers is the ones who are going to stand up. The believers are the ones who's throwing the stone at Goliath. The Muslims sitting back say, "Oh, yeah, they're my brothers and sisters. They out there." And that's what Allah tells us in the Quran. Nowhere is the one that's out there dowing, propagating, pushing, and moving like the one sitting at home.
Mm-mm.
And so once we get to the point where we are believers, and if you read the Quran, if in English or in Arabic, you know that Allah always says, "Ya ayyuhal ladina aminu mukminu mukminat," "Oh, you who believe, man and woman." That's how Allah addresses you. When Allah addresses you like that in the Quran, he's going to give you an order. There's an order going to come behind that. He's addressing the believer. You don't hear him saying, "Yeah, he had the deen of mukminun," to a Muslim. You don't say that. He speaks to the believer. That's why you, when you read the Quran, you know the Allah is talking directly to you. You can feel it. You're going to move when you read that Quran. Your eyes go to blink it 4 or 5 times as something that you just read. And we done read the book over 50 years. And every time we read it, we get somebody every verse, every time. The believers do, but not the Muslim. Because we know we're sat around with people that's been in this community 50, 60, 70 years. And proud to say they Muslim. When you say something, they ask you, where you get that from? But you just got to tell them you've been around this 60, 70 years. Out of respect, you should be telling me. We the young people. But we the trailblazers as well. That means that we are studying. My first of the year is in Ramadan. And why I say Ramadan? Because Ramadan is when Allah writes the decree for everybody. Who gonna live, who gonna die, who gonna be rich, who gonna be poor, who gonna be sick, who gonna be healthy. All this is written in Ramadan. That's why we strive so hard in Ramadan, asking Allah for all the du'as and to purify us and to help us understand so we can pass on this message. When you think it's the best time? When you think that'd be a better year for us?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Imam Muhammad spoke on that. That's why, like Muhammad said, see, the Talim, Sazdaya, like with Muhammad, like he was teaching. That's a part that we can bring in on the Sunday if we wanted to at this time, because we don't have any platforms in Islamic centers matches right now. So if we use this platform and got a brother in there or sister in, like Muhammad just got through teaching, and let them go for 35, 40 minutes. Because why? On this show, after a brother or sister get through expressing themselves, then people can call in for answers and questions. That's what the purpose of having Talima for. Juma, we can't ask too many questions, Juma. Because we're going to do a lawsuit dispersed. Dispersed after Juma. Now, Talim, after the lecture for 45 or 50 minutes, go, then the imam or whoever the khatib is speaking, they got 35 to 40 minutes for questions and answers. And we monitor the question and answer. That's why the Talim is so important. And I had to keep on saying, who stopped it anyway? Why was the program stopped that had already been designed and used almost 70 years? And then after the leadership of Imam Muhammad, it disappeared? Well, who did it? I pray we do a lot, and our leader, Imam Muhammad, he advised us of the plots and the plans that some of these imam had sitting around, how they going to take the community after he's gone, and those are his correct words that I'm saying right now. So we know what's going to happen. And he told us we done got lazy. He told us that before he passed. We lazy. Our talims and our masters and sinners should have never stopped. How? When you have people leaving churches, come to the masters and the sinners to get clarity on scripture. And many times we were able to answer it or correct some errors, and they felt good about it. Naturally, when they do that, they go back to their home and sit down at the dinner table and talk to their wives and sons and daughters about it. Do you know they said sons of church, but I went over to see the brother, and what they told me, you know they was right. Give me the Bible. Go to chapter so-and-so. Let me show what they showed up. This Talim allow us to get into the people's homes at the dinner tables, at the breakfast table, at the lunch table. We're able to get into their homes through their people, children, wife, husband, daughter, whoever it was that came to our sinners and masters. So why would we let that go? Can't we see that of Shaitan? His greatest trick is what? Divide and conquer. And since he didn't divide it, us as a community, the believers over here, 100,000 and 2 million a quarter over there, Muslims. And that's why we ain't went nowhere. He's really upset because this 100,000 plays a very important role, and he wants us too. But Allah is blessed, he can't get us. Gone with those, like Allah said, I feel here with y'all. So you take the ones that you got that's not doing nothing, proud to say they're Muslim, but they're not believers. A believer doesn't backbite his brothers and sisters. A believer stands on the Quran. Like the brother said about these holidays and the New Year's. We got our own. If you want to say it like this Christmas, we got two ears. If we came together on those two ears, like we're supposed to, look how much unity we would have. And that was the purpose of having it on the outside of the masjid, if the weather permits. Not inside, outside. Because that allowed the people to see your strength. That allowed the people to see what you're about. And they stand on the sidewall and listen to your message. Or sit in their cars and listen to your message. But the final key here is that we must become mu'minun. We must become believers. What Imam Muhammad told us, he told us when you read the Quran, stop surface riding. He said, dig deep down in the book. You know, you see the little words on the top there? Yeah. But go deeper than that. And he told us to use etymology. Go to the root of words in one ayat, one verse. And many times you can take one word in an ayat and go to the root of it, it explains the whole ayat to you. Or the whole chapter just about. So now, at our age now, we want to become scientists in that Islam. And that's why I always say, if you show me Islam, I show you slavery. And we can prove that. But if you show me Al-Islam, I'll show you freedom. And that's what we're pushing today. We're pushing El-Islam. We're pushing freedom, justice, and equality for the people. We come in and we come first. We learn first, and then we share with others. We don't tie ourselves on people just want to call themselves a name and not doing anything. That's why if they were so important, the 3 million of us that follow Imam Muhammad, if they really accepted his leadership, we would have no problem talking about how we're going to protect our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. How we're going to protect our children. We would already be together and have programs rolling out, like from Talib on, programs rolling out where people get comfortable with, sit, and they know they can come and ask a question. You know, asking a question is very important. You know, some people minds, you know how you sit in your seat in school and see, say, who can answer this question? And everybody's hand go up, but you jump up and throw in your hand. You get excited because you want to ask a question. Now, just think of the people that come to our centers of mass gym when we got Talim. And a good lecture is put out there with information. And they throw their hands up when you say, now we're going to have questions and answers. It is very important for the people to be able to ask the question. Why? Because, number one, what we do, we make sure that the environment, we produce an environment that is conducive to one's growth. And so when they come in, they don't feel like a stranger. They feel like they're part of the family. So it makes it easier for them to stand up. And in the way we're applauding, stand up, brother, come on, sister, come on. You can ask a question. You make them feel comfortable and answer their question. That's why the Talim is so important. And like we say, it should have never stopped. But there was a reason. Somebody didn't want us to succeed. And we know that somebody that didn't want us to see the shaitan through the media of human beings among us. That's why we can't play with them. When a lot of us get some earth, got a building on it, and we still got our centers and stuff, we cannot let shaitan come in and seduce the people in the community with his seductive voice. When we see them whispering, we stop it right there. And we put them out, tell them don't come back no more. I heard Imam Muhammad told him, don't come to the masjid all frowning and stuff, looking like a devil. He said, go to the other masjids. There's plenty of masjids around here. Don't come here. And we must take on the same mindset that our leader took on, knowing how to deal with people, knowing how to put people in a position where they can't ask a question. Many times when Imam Muhammad had the answer a question period set up, there was a line of people lined up to ask questions. And certain questions they were asked, he would cut them off and say, I'll get with you later. Move them to the side and bring the next person up. Now, he was using wisdom because he knew this person wanted to ask something was going to kind of disturb the spirit that he had already put out there among us. But our talims, yes, is very important because our talim represents a second part of our life, a second part of our growth, understanding, and wisdom. It's the second part. First part is Juma. And then you got a 24-hour period between Juma and Talim. Then you got from Talim Sunday, 5 days, and you're back at Juma. That's how the spirit of the believers, when our community had Talim, was moving forward. Because we right now, we so cut off. Okay, you got Juma. What you do another 6 days? We done got just like the people we talking about. We should say Sunday go to church people. Not just Friday going to mass year people. No other activities. Look at all the committees we had. And every committee was functioning. Mishap committee, sick committee, well-meaning committee. All these committees we had. And it was producing. And you tell me Talim is not important. It's important because it allows our youth, 12, 13, 14, to come up like we should do in Detroit. We've let a junior imam, if we call him, come up on a Sunday, and he opened up for the imam. He got 25 minutes. The other Sunday, we let a sister come up and open up for the imam. This is helping everybody else to grow and to be able to identify with the people and the spirit of the people and get used to communicating with the people. So when they're not around you and they're in the public and they talk to some of their friends or in school, they're comfortable in what they're saying about Ellis Mom. We had to train them like we was trained. We were foot soldiers. We were sitting on the floor listening. Then we became the people that can talk. Because, you know, we all had impediments in our speeches. You know, all we couldn't speak. We couldn't talk. But there had to be some type of spirit in the direction of their spirit that made us want to talk. Made us get we stumbled a little bit, but after a while we got it. And we kept on reading, kept on studying, kept on understanding what Allah wanted us to do and how his messenger did it, how Prophet Muhammad did it. And so we said, yeah, I want to be like Prophet Muhammad. I want to do the same thing that Prophet Muhammad did. That's what I want to do. And then Allah bless you with that spirit to be able to address people intelligently. And we always had it at Atalin, when everything was, when the imam spoke and was finished, before the question and answer period, he asked people, how many people understood what was said today? They throw their hands up. Well, how many people believe what they heard? They throw their hands up. Well, how many want to accept Islam? And that's how we used to do it. And we had 2-3 hands. I'm going to come on up here, brothers and sisters. And we would get them in Shahada. We were growing. We ain't doing that now. We're sitting at home. I see people break out the bad shit because a football game coming on, a basketball game coming on, or whatever. We've seen it just about every weekend when these sports jump up. Now, I'm not knocking the sport because I don't watch them. But I'm saying if our life, our children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, life is at stake, what the hell are we running to see a football game for? Or a baseball game? That's another tool of shaitan. That's another one that how he got you locked up with some mess. And all the hooping and hollering, and you ain't getting a dime. They're getting millions of dollars. And if you look at it closely, look at their demeanor. Big braids in that platter in the head, wide as your phone. On both sides like a ram horn. Tattooed all up in their face and neck. This is the influence of your children. Why the children so easy to be influenced like that? Called football games come on Saturday and Sunday, but now Talim, they ain't going to be there. They did the man show to the center. Well, we can give them some advice and some guidance. And we tell them we're not knocking them, but we're doing what the law say about the sport and the playing. And you're talking about remake the world. You can't remake the world sporting and playing. To remake the world, you got to be serious. Because remaking the world is responsibility, and that means freedom. Freedom is responsibility. We're responsible for ourselves first, as the law said in the Quran, then we're responsible for our family members. And then we're responsible for those outside our family members. When we're talking about this truth that we're talking. I'm going to yield right here. So let somebody else come on. I'll pray for you, Lord. Thank you very much. And like I say, I'm grateful that our brother and sister is getting well, his wife and sister Diane are by as well, and others who are ill. We pray to the Lord. We make dua for them that they become well and strong and able to fight us in this mission that we got. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum as-salam.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Let's see if anybody else is on here. Like, enjoyed your presentation and all. I know you would carry it on. Does anybody have any questions to ask Imam Ibrahim? I want to contribute to what he has said. Okay, we got Sister Karan, it looks like. We bring her in. Good to hear from her sister.
As-salamu alaykum,
Sister Karan.
Oh, that's Brother Suja this time. Okay. Wa alaykum
as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. I just got to say, sir, the brother fired me up, and I'm thankful to Allah. I'm thankful to Allah, brother, that we got people among us that that type of spirit, you know, not just to fight, you know, anybody can fight. You know, everybody can fight, but you're talking about fighting for something. Fighting for something. You know, not just the science, you know, and try to be deep and heavy. But you're fighting for something. I like to open up with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I also testify and I also bear witness that there's only one creator. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the prophet. So we got to, if we don't stand up and join in with that, you know, then something wrong if we don't stand up and I mean, everything that Brother Ibrahim said was clear. You know, it was real clear. Anytime we get quiet and try to change the conversation, I don't say nothing about it. That's one of the things that we do. We don't even talk about it.
I'm all right, brother.
You know, just let his voice and all those good points and all those needs that have been addressed, you know, we just let it just fade away. That's the way they did the imam.
Yes,
the imam said he had 85% of the imams in symposium. That's the way they
That's
did
right.
it.
That's correct.
You know, they never would talk about it. They never would address the important things that the imam brought out. You know. And they get into something else that don't mean nothing.
Uh-huh.
They bring up some stuff that don't mean nothing. You know.
Yes, sir.
And we're doing the same thing today. Identical same thing. Same thing today. Look how long we've been without Kylene. I mean that's just ridiculous. Like Brother Ibrahim said, you know, it's a time where people come in and ask questions and want to know more about Islam and want to become a member of the religion. And it's a time where we bring our young peoples in and let them come up and address us and grow and develop. So if we kill that and don't say nothing about it, let's think about that. And don't say nothing about it. I'm surprised that they haven't tried to attack brother Ibrahim.
Oh, come on.
Oh yeah. They know they got to fight. They gonna have a real fight. They gonna have a full enough fight. So what they try to do is not give it no attention. Cause the more you attack it, the more about it is gonna be brought out. And the more we're going to be able to show the necessity of traveling.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's on the Sunday. What do we do on the Sunday? What are we doing on the Sunday? You know, we're not doing any. We're not doing anything on the Sunday. Now they're gonna try to bring up stuff on the Sunday, like I said, that will make no sense and ain't got no bearing on developing our children, developing us, bringing us close together. They're gonna try to bring up those things since the brother brought up about Tyneen. They're gonna waste your time. You're gonna waste your time, brothers and sisters. So, you know, I don't mind about getting them upset. I'm telling you, brother, I'm ready for a fight.
Yes, sir.
I'm ready for a fight. I'm gonna stand up all the way on truth. That's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from truth. I see that our children has been neglected.
Yeah, our seniors.
You know, I see that they have brought down something that is real necessary. They have killed it in our community.
Huh.
And see, I think we, you know, let's get together. Praise be to Allah, and I'll do this over and over until I die. Let's get together and set up some kind of program where we can get started. Let's get started. You know, I have a number. I got a number. Have a number and with the access number, plus they don't control the time.
No way, boss.
They don't.
Right.
They don't. You know, you can talk as long as you want to.
Uh-huh.
They don't control the time. It's the same one that be used. With BUII. Anybody that wants to do it, I'm ready to do it. Let's not try to interfere with something that somebody else is doing. But we need to set it up at 1:00.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
We need to do that, and we can have it for hour, 2 hours, however we want to do it. You know. So let's do that, and let's get on a campaign of asking other masjids to participate. Let's come together on that. Let's talk about getting young people that want to say something to come up before us and make a presentation. And like Brother Imam said, let's set it up for question and answer. And what you got to be careful with is letting somebody come in, you know, and when we start participating, you got to watch out for people coming in trying to start confusion.
Yes, sir.
We got to be on security. Satan got all kind of tricks. He done killed this. But he's going to do everything in his power to stop him from starting to back up again.
Uh-huh.
Because he knows how important this is. Tyleen. I love Tyleen.
Yes, I did too,
bro. I used to love to go on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, we used to discuss. I remember we used to have time in with the folk alarm.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
It's just like a perfect program, you know, and we're able to grow. It's not nothing that repetitious, and you're doing the same old thing, and you ain't getting nowhere.
Huh.
You can grow with Tylene. And we not looking for no compliments, and we ain't not looking for no thank yous and none of that. We want to see it grow. We want to see it grow. And I'm definitely gonna participate. I'm gonna get right behind brother EB, and I'm pushing hard as hell.
Long wag bottom.
Yeah, I'm pushing hard at it, and we need to get some of these people out of different cities, that want to do something,
Yes, sir.
Yeah, like I heard that sister that you mentioned. That was out of New Jersey, said that they had put together a Tylene program
on Sunday.
That's right. On Sunday, and that's what we want to do. We need a report to know who all initiating and getting Tylene started back up again. Let's do it. Praise be to Allah. And since we got this technology, in many cases, we can join in. We can come together. We can use it. We can utilize it. So, brothers and sisters, I just had to say something, and I know it's sisters night, and it's time for the children, but I think this is real serious. This is right on time for the sisters and for the children. So let's get together and do it. Let's see what Satan's going to say, and we ain't backing up, and I'm not going to back up, I'm 100% behind cranking back up Tylene again.
Yes, sir. Well, ain't nigga must not run to law.
I'm due to law.
You know, we mentioned our sisters too, Suja, our seniors. Our seniors drilling away, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's all they had. Don't you know that they was loving to come to Tylene?
Yes.
You know, and many people work on Friday. They came to Juma, you know, they wanted to come on Tylene. And Imam Muhammad said, what you do, Brother Imam, say, when you have your Tylene, you go back into the Juma, about 10 or 15 minutes of Juma, and you bring the people up to the Tylene. Then you take a conversation right on the Tylene. That way you bring them up to speed. What was said Friday?
Alhamdulillah. I mean, you got so many benefits in Tylene.
Yes, sir. We know that Tylene, we didn't have to worry about no finance, no funds to pay our bills and stuff.
Yeah.
And every time we gave a report every 2 weeks, we was over the budget what we needed. You know, Suja, we was in Detroit on Friday, not Tylene, on Friday. We had sold over 300 dinners at Chrysler, Ford's and General Motors. We sell them dinners every week, every other weekend. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the crew we had going to General Motors, going to Ford's, going to Chrysler, we had crews going there selling over 300 dinners. Oh, did you bring my bean pie? I brought my whole bean pie? I got you, brother. Okay. And they'd be looking for us at lunchtime. Now, that was during Juma.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, I seen that program that they had in Michigan, and Allah is my witness. They said in three years that the brothers and sisters had developed and grew up to 25,000.
Lord, wake up.
Lord, I want somebody to check that out. Check that out.
Yes, sir.
25,000 in 3 years. That was in Detroit, Michigan.
And the majority of them, not so much the majority, you know, was Hispanics and it was Caucasians that were joining.
I seen them, and they showed us the line of them going into the mosque.
Yes, sir. Long Wagbon.
Long Wagbon. I'm gonna go on YouTube tonight and see can I find that. Bring that back up. Because it was on YouTube.
Okay. Yes, see can you do that and give us the site if you do.
And I give you all the site. So we got the spirit. And we got the people. All we had to do is just reunite it. Just light the fire back up again.
Yes, sir.
That's all we got to do is fire back up again, and give people things to do, and make people feel welcome and part of it. Don't let no dictator get in there and run the peoples away.
Oh, no. We done been through that cycle. That ain't happening no more.
We ain't going to have that. These young people ain't gonna work under that type of pressure.
They're not
going to work under that pressure. You know, we're going to grow. Everybody going to have something. Everybody going to be somebody. It's just like Jesse Jackson said, I am somebody.
That's right.
Yeah. So we want everybody feel like they're part of this here and be able to contribute and be excited about it, you know.
Every Savior's Day, Jesse Jackson was at every Savior's Day just by the Chicago.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When we had.
I remember. I went to Imam. And Jesse Jackson came up to the imam. We were in the area where Jesse Jackson came up to the imam, and he fell on his knees, and he grabbed the imam's hand and kissed his hand, and the imam fell down his name on his knees and kissed his hand.
A long way, brother. Yes, sir.
I never forget that. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody gonna let him worship him.
Nah.
You know?
Wasn't that on a Sunday? That was on a Sunday, wasn't it?
I ain't gonna lie. I don't know exactly what day that was on. But it was.
We know the majority of the program we had was on Sunday, Tallinn, in Chicago.
Yeah. Exactly, brother. Praise be to Allah. So it's fired up, you know, because we have the brothers. I'm telling you, if we get that going back again, and then having a food on a regular basis, it's gonna fire right back up again.
Well, it is imperative that we started up again.
Yeah.
It is serious.
And we got some good speakers around here, bro. I'm telling you, we got some young brothers can speak. Some young brothers. We got young brothers can speak. I've seen some of them.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I'm doing a lot. Let's get the fire back up and do something so we can develop our skills. You know, get our skills back together. Get our sister more together where she can see her role as a woman. Because men have lost their role as women. Men of them sisters don't know what a woman is.
Huh.
They don't know what, and ain't nobody teaching what a woman is.
No.
Anytime you got a young person arguing back with their parents and saying, they don't understand.
They don't understand. That's a hurting thing, bro.
I mean, seriously. You know, so we need to get back on it. We need to create that atmosphere and that certain and that platform, you know, and start teaching on that again, you know, and bringing it to our young folks.
Yes, sir. This gonna spread, and the longer we keep pushing on BUII and on this program here, people hearing us, and on the Lifeline, something got to give.
Alhamdulillah.
For sure.
Alhamdulillah.
For sure.
It's after 8, okay. After 9.
Let me close out that text message, y'all.
Yeah.
And there we go. I seek refuge in the law for Satan, the rejected. Oh, Allah, let not our hearts turn back to corruption after you have guided us. And from your presence, grant us mercy.
I mean.
Well, I just heard my sister's voice. Let me say it again. Oh, yeah, that is.
Yeah. Anybody else have any last minute comments or anything to say? If not, then we'll just close out. No, it is 9:02. I enjoyed every bit that I heard. Thank a lot.
And we look for you, sister, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
That's right.
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's Monday.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And I don't know.
We're with you tonight, aren't we? And we want you to be with us tomorrow night.
Oh,
we ain't getting
on here with this board every night. On here with this board every night. I'm with this board every night. Every night it's on.
Yes. Okay, like you said, let's go. Let's get off this line. We had to pay for this line, so we don't want to go over too far.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 9:03. Okay, then. I some legum, everybody. Pray everybody stay safe.
Well, thank you for my tomorrow.
I'm just lying. All right, then.
And thank you all. Thank you. They don't want us to go.